Welcome to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy program. We are broadcasting from 92.1 in Provincetown, 91.3 in Orleans, and online at WOMR.org. I am Lindsay Henderson, Communications and Data Analyst for Cape Light Compact. Today we have a variety of guests here to talk about energy education in the schools and an important study that the Compact has conducted over the last year. If you aren't familiar with Cape Light Compact, we have been operating an energy efficiency program for the Cape and Martha's Vineyard since the summer of 2001. Through the various programs available for homes and business consumers, are expected to save more than $600 million on their energy bills over the lifetime of the measures that have been installed to date. This happens with energy efficient lighting, appliances, heating systems, and more. With the recent news regarding climate change, you may think that you are not able to help alleviate that problem, but that isn't true. The foundation for combating climate change is energy efficiency, which is something that can be done by each and every home and business on the Cape and Vineyard, and even worldwide, while saving money and making your space more comfortable at the same time. Saving this energy through the energy efficiency programs helps to defer the need for new power plants and burning of fossil fuels, which helps reduce the pollution that contributes to climate change. But yet there is still so much more that needs to be done. That brings us to our first topic today, which is about the potential study that the Compact recently completed. This study shows, among other things, that we still have a lot of light bulbs in the region that could be changed over to high-efficiency LED bulbs. Today I have Phil Moffitt, Evaluation Manager for the Compact, here with us to talk about the study. And later on in the show, we will have Debbie Fitton, our Energy Education Program Coordinator, and a special guest, Todd Rogers, here to talk with us about the Compact's work in the local schools and educating the consumers of tomorrow about energy. Once again, these kids seem to be getting smarter than we are about this. First, let's talk about the potential study and what it shows about what we've accomplished during the past 15 years and how much more still remains to be done, and where you can focus on your home or business to save on your energy bills. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Great to have you here today. Can you give us an overview of what this study was?
Sure. So last summer, the Compact completed a penetration potential and program opportunity study. And the goal of the study was to document the penetration of the Compact's energy efficiency programs and to estimate the future electric savings potential from those programs. Completing the study required the better part of a year because we collected a lot of information from our customers. We surveyed and visited over 2,700 residential and low-income customers and nearly 450 commercial and industrial customers. Both the surveys and the site visits are time-consuming but critical to the study. And we used the results of the study to inform the Compact's 2016 through 2018 three-year energy efficiency plan. And again, thank you to all of our customers that completed surveys and allowed us to visit their homes and businesses. It was critical to the success of the study.
So our viewers have heard us talk a few times over the last several months about the three-year plan. So this really was crucial in us developing this plan because it helps us to determine what we really still need to do out there. I mean, I know events that I attend, it still amazes me after doing the programs for 15 years that there are still so many people that either haven't participated or don't even know who Cape Light Compact is. So yeah. This was really great. So what did the study find? Do you have a brief overview of what the findings were?
Yeah, so first of all, the study spanned the six-year period 2016 through 21. So it was a six-year time frame, and the primary focus of the study time frame was the next three-year plan, which spans the years 2016 through 2018. And it found that the achievable energy efficiency potential for the entire six-year period will cost about $220 million, or an average of about $37 million per year. And that it will produce benefits that are about three times that amount.
So it would be about over almost $700 million that consumers would expect to save over the next 6 years through these.
That's correct. And through energy efficiency, sales of electricity could drop about 12% from 2016 through 21. And that level of efficiency would mean that people are not only saving money, but helping to meet the challenge of climate change.
Which, as we've discussed previously, and everybody's read in the news, it's a very hot topic right now and a very important topic that needs to be addressed. So, Phil, can you tell us a little more specifically about some of the areas in the residential customers that we can look at that are opportunities?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of specifics, the study found that 49%, or about one half of our year-round residential customers, had high-efficiency LED bulbs, and 21% of our seasonal residents had LEDs, and only about 8% of our low-income customers had LEDs. And the study also found that 37% of year-round residents had a secondary refrigerator, while 28% of seasonal residents had one. And similarly, 26% of year-round residents had a standalone freezer, and 4% of seasonal residents had one. So these are the types of findings that show us where we can focus our programs to better serve our customers. And in general, what you do as an individual depends in part on whether you are planning a new home, have an older home, or whether you are a renter. We have programs that help savings for each type of customer.
And how about commercial consumers? Because sometimes businesses, whether they own or rent their buildings, don't know that they're eligible for programs. So what were some opportunities that we found that we can help them with?
Yeah, so again, it depends on the type of business. But generally, the study helped us to better understand the different segments of our commercial and industrial sector. And these segments include, for example, lodging and hospitality, restaurants, small retail establishments, health services. And by better understanding these customers and the extent to which they've installed energy efficiency equipment, energy efficient lighting and products, we will be better able to target their needs and serve them going forward.
So this is some great information that we will use, obviously not only for the three-year plan that we just filed, but for subsequent ones after that. So if people want to take action and try to combat climate change and save energy and be more comfortable, what should they do?
Well, calling for a free energy assessment is the first step. You can call us at 1-800-797-6699 or visit our website, www.capelightcompact.org, to see what may be available for your home or business.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you very much, Phil, for joining us.
My pleasure, Lindsay. Thank you.
So now on a little bit of a lighter note, we're going to talk about our energy education programs that we have in the schools on the Cape and the Vineyard. And with me, I have Debbie Fitton, our energy education program coordinator, and also have Todd Rogers from Energy Training Solutions, who's been helping Debbie with some work, teacher workshop trainings over the past week or so. Welcome.
Hello.
Hey, good to be here.
Hi, Lindsay.
Thank you for joining me. So, Debbie, let's just start off with a little bit of background on the energy education programs. When did they start?
The energy education program started through the Cape Cod Cooperative Extension. It was an idea of Bill Clark, our director with the extension. And he wanted to see if we could do something a little bit more substantial in getting energy education into the schools outside of just a scholastic flyer that was going out in the schools at the time. And that was in 2001. So Maggie Downey, who was taking off at the time with the Cape Light Compact, said she thought it was a great idea. And after they hired Kevin Galligan, we started with really looking into some curriculum and some programming that we could give to the teachers here on the Cape. And so 2001, we were experimenting a little bit. We enlisted the help of a teacher advisory board, and they helped to kind of fashion the way the Compact's education program became. And it was really, really well received, especially with our first few teacher workshops starting in 2003. About 2003, we also enlisted the help with the National Energy Education Development Project that we discovered, and they gave us a lot of help with our first teacher workshops and curriculum and materials. And we used the NEED project for quite a while. And to this day, a lot of our teachers here on the Cape and the Vineyard know the NEED name and are familiar with the NEED curriculum and materials through our support through the Compact.
And of course, over the years, how many schools or kids, rather, at the beginning did you have start participating in the...
Oh, boy, quite a few. It seemed to fill a niche at the time. And I remember our first few workshops, we had upwards around 20, 30 teachers attend. And those teachers, you know, in turn go back to their schools and reach their kids and reach their colleagues, and it just kind of grew from that. I started getting emails and calls from teachers K through 12 looking for materials and looking for support. As far as schools, I don't think there's a school on the Cape that we haven't reached, that we haven't worked with. And that includes private schools as well as public schools. And we've even gone into the community college level and did a lot of work with the community college classes out there. So it's pretty comprehensive.
And that's great because, of course, recently we've heard a lot in the news about the climate change movement and mm-hmm. issue that's been going on. So reaching out to these students and their parents, essentially, through these programs, you know, help shape energy efficiency for the future.
Absolutely, yeah. Right now, there can't be a more pressing environmental issue than climate change. And right now, going on in Paris, is one of the most important summits that we've ever had, environmentally speaking. And so this can be a huge, huge burden to bear for our students. But when they look at some of the things that they can do themselves to help offset, you know, the effects of climate change, then there's a glimmer of hope that they know that they can be part of the solution. And that's what we're trying to do and reach them with our new BEES initiative, Be Energy Efficient Smart. With our Be Energy Efficient Smart program, BEES, we're giving teachers tools to reach their classrooms in a way that they'll teach kids how to use diagnostic tools to read temperature, relative humidity, light levels, and all sorts of things like that. And then at the end of their lessons in the classroom, the kids will be given a kit that they can take home and teach their parents how to be more energy efficient. And that's kind of the baseline for our new initiative. We've recruited Todd Rogers from Energy Training Solutions to help us with our teacher training. He is, in my opinion, the best of the best. And we go way back to our days with the NEED Teacher Advisory Board, and we couldn't be happier to have him on board with us.
That's great, and I guess that's a great segue into Todd's part is... Todd, do you want to give a little bit of background about what it is that you do and some of your work experience?
Sure, and it's great to see programs like BEES happening. You know, Debbie mentioned the Paris conference and that we've got the world's leaders focused on this issue of climate change right now. And, you know, these programs really... put the kinds of tools that are needed into people's hands. And, you know, the world leaders are going to be hammering out commitments that they're going to be making for all of their countries in terms of emissions cuts that they're going to make. And while we're headed towards a carbon-free energy system here, ultimately, hopefully, you know, we're not going to get there without efficiency. And energy efficiency is going to be the driver of a lot of what's happening right now. So this is something that, that students can and teachers can participate in. So Debbie mentioned some of our history working together on curriculum development and trainings here. I've delivered trainings here in the Cape quite a bit over the years. And, you know, this series that we just did here, you know, we've reached a lot of enthusiastic teachers who want to bring this type of information to their students. So I think you asked a little bit about my own background. I used to work as an energy auditor. So I've done a lot of building studies, energy audits of schools, of residences, office buildings, all kinds of facilities, public housing, apartment buildings. And I have also worked as a teacher, so I bring that perspective as well. And right now, through Energy Training Solutions, what we're really focused on is what we call behavioral energy management. We help organizations manage their energy use by how the building occupants use energy in a day-to-day basis and how the operators operate the building systems.
Mm-hmm. And that's always interesting and an important piece, because a lot of times, especially with the commercial buildings and stuff, we install all these fabulous energy management systems, but the people don't actually know how to use it.
Correct, yes.
So that's important.
There's always an effort on the part of the engineers to try to engineer the people out of the picture. Let's just take them out. Let's see how little control we can give. But we always find a way to get back involved and either mess things up or make things better in terms of a building. And so we focus in our programming, it's about energy, but it's actually a lot more about behavior and what are the drivers for human behavior. There's been a lot of very interesting research that's come out in the past decade in terms of what are our motivations, what makes us tick, what makes us make the decisions that we do. So we utilize this information, this research, to apply those to organizations and how we can move people to change their habits.
And that's tough to do.
It is, because the types of things that we're asking people to do in various organizations are not that complex. It's mainly getting people to do the types of things that we all know we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out to be a bit of a trick in an organization, but that's where we come in. Mm-hmm. And we tailor our approach to the type of environment we're working in. So when we're in public housing, we hire residents of public housing to do the work, to provide the education, to offer people the kinds of opportunities that they can take to choose savings. Mm-hmm. In schools, we teach students to be really the energy ambassadors and leaders within the school environment. And these students become the energy experts in their buildings. And through the kilowatt program that we're doing in schools, they then monitor the energy use over time and apply motivational strategies that move behavior.
And I know that I've attended some of Debbie's energy carnivals over the years, and that's always a lot of fun, just seeing how excited these kids are.
Yep.
In learning about the science of energy and having the tools that they can go home and then apply it
right
to their own everyday life.
Yes, it's not only are they excited about learning about all of these things about energy efficiency and renewable energy and energy transfer, but they love teaching it to you, especially to adults. And
any time that they can teach an adult something, right?
That's true. they become very empowered, and they also become rock stars, because the little kids in the school look up to them, and they just understand that that there's a lot of power in understanding and teaching others. So this is where our, I think, behavior change starts, is at that level, at that generation. And by the time they're adults, it's just what we do.
It'll be a normal part of life by the time they're grown up.
Right.
And for the rest of us, it's a challenge at times to change how you do things after doing it one way for so long.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. I think Debbie and I share that. That's what kind of gets us out the door in the morning, is this idea that we're working with another generation, and that they're really the future. And as they become leaders, not only in the future, but leaders today as students, they're making the difference.
Yeah, there's Absolutely. A lot of hope there.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, Todd, what has your role been over the last week? You mentioned that you've been doing some teacher workshops. So what have these teachers been learning and doing? I know I saw some pretty cool things going on during one of the workshops.
Yeah, so what we're doing is we're training teachers in this area of building science and home performance. And it's a cool way to integrate what they need to be teaching in terms of the science of energy and energy transformations, and apply it to something as concrete as our buildings, something as concrete as utility bills, something as concrete as our climate. So it's what the teachers have been learning about this past week has to do with a lot of really cool hands-on activities that they can bring back. For instance, they are testing different types of insulation to see how well they stop heat transfer, how well they can insulate a home. They are learning about air movement in a home by tracing air movement using using smoke generators within a simulated home that's got a heating system in it, to see how it how air moves and how that might impact energy use. They're using tools like infrared thermometers to read temperatures and light meters to measure light levels.
That's great. So it sounds like going forward in January with this new initiative, not that it wasn't hands-on before, but this is really a different experience, kind of taking it to the next level for their energy knowledge.
Absolutely, yeah, it really does take it to the next level. They're building on their knowledge of energy transfer that they got in studying science of energy, and now they're applying it to real life applications, just the environment around them in their classroom or at their home. And we're really excited about the possibilities of what they're going to be bringing home, the knowledge that they're going to be sharing with their parents, the all the tools that they'll be able to take home in their kit, such as a couple of LED light bulbs that they can change out into their home, some air sealing and weather stripping, and thermometers that they'll be able to check, make sure that the refrigerator and freezer is running properly. Anyhow, there's all kinds of really cool things that they're going to be learning and imparting on their parents at home.
What one of the culminating activities of the workshop that the teachers have really been enjoying is they actually design and build a model house. They have to insulate it, they have to air seal it, and part of the kits that they'll be receiving, they get some of the diagnostic tools to test the performance of that house then. So we actually have something called a miniature blower door, which will suck air through their house and measure how leaky it is. And they have to hit a certain Goldilocks zone in terms of air movements, where there's enough air movement so that their house is healthy, because we need air in our homes. We need fresh air to be coming through, but not so much air moving through that it's wasteful of the energy that we're using.
And for those of you out there who are listening who may have had an energy assessment in the past and had work done, you've probably seen these blower door tests actually happening, and it's really kind of crazy how it works. And you know, going around with a smoke stick afterwards, you know, while it's running, and just seeing it just go out your windows or up your chimney, and it really is amazing.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because, you know, one of the things that, that Debbie and I talk about with this program is that this is really a nice career connection for students as well. So, you know, they might be using a miniature blower door on their model house as part of this curriculum. Well, you know, there are energy auditors out there, like you mentioned, doing this work in people's homes, and it's an area that's going to be expanding. There's going to be a lot more call for this sort of thing. There's going to be a lot more call for auditors as there's a new international energy code coming in as of 2016 that is going to be requiring builders to be doing more in this area. There are laws in a lot of our cities now whereby buildings over a certain size are required to get energy audits. And as time goes on, particularly with our focus on climate change, we're going to be seeing more and more of these types of programs coming through and more organizations looking to manage their energy use wisely. So this is a great way for students to get their hands dirty a little bit with a growing career field.
Yeah, and it definitely is growing, like you mentioned. I mean, I know just in the, how long have I been here? About 7-8 years, it has grown a lot in just that time frame. And I can't even imagine since we started in 2001, it's grown a lot and will keep growing, like you mentioned, with the new codes that are coming out and the new requirements that are going to be asked upon.
Right. It's something that we can certainly keep current with. And I know that we've seen a lot of difference, or a lot of change in the way students learn, for instance, since 2001. They're much more sophisticated now. And, you know, we need to stay current with all of the things that they're going to be facing, you know, later on. And again, the career tracks that they're going to be, you know, that are available to them. So this is all timely.
This is great. Well, thank you both for joining me today, and can't wait to see what happens next year. We might have to do a follow-up to see how our first year goes with the new initiative in the schools. And then to change gears just a little bit, we got the holidays coming up.
Woo-hoo.
So I'm sure that everybody hopefully has started their Christmas shopping by now.
Uh-oh.
No, Todd?
Oh, no way.
But Debbie, do you have a couple of energy efficient ideas that people can give for gifts?
Oh my gosh. Well, one of the, I think the most efficient gift you can get for or give somebody is something that you buy locally, is buy something locally, and that you're saving all that energy from shipping and all of that kind of thing.
And plus supporting your local businesses. And
absolutely, yes.
And fellow residents.
And that's all good. Another idea, you can get a kilowatt meter and give somebody you love a kilowatt meter, and they can check out all of the energy efficient, or to see how efficient or non-efficient their appliances are at home.
That's a great idea.
And the idea of a kilowatt meter is it's a meter that you plug into the wall, and then you put whatever, whether it's your refrigerator or TV, you plug it into the meter, and then it'll show you approximately how much it uses.
Correct. Yeah. And then
so that's always fun. So that's really good for all those people that really like to kind of delve down into their energy usage.
Right. Yeah. And then if you're into gadgets and things like that, just look for the Energy Star. Make sure you're purchasing one that has an energy efficiency label on it.
That's great. Well, again, thank you both for joining me, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Lindsay.
All right, thanks.
If you have any questions on what was discussed today or would like more information on our programs, please give us a call at